to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Let's bow for a word of prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for bringing us here to your house to hear your word. And Lord, we thank you for the music that we've heard and the drama that we've seen. And Lord, how we trust that that has touched our hearts and connected with us in some way. But Lord, nothing is more important than your word. And Lord, you have some truths, I believe, in this passage for us this morning. I pray that you would help us to listen with open hearts and with open minds today. Lord, that you would not just be a wonderful name, as we heard about in the musical, but Lord, that you would be our Savior and our King personally. And Lord, we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This morning's musical, as you mentioned, was called Wonderful Name, and perhaps you noticed the theme throughout the songs. It was all about Jesus. And that's what Christmas is supposed to be about. It's supposed to be all about Jesus and the name of Jesus. But what is the significance of a name? Shakespeare asked that question. He said, What's in a name? A rose by any other name would still smell as sweet. Perhaps you've heard the phrase, in name only. Right now is election season. I know before Sunday school class there was, you know, heated debates about candidates and things and talking about elections and all that. And the Republicans have something called RINOs, people that are called Republicans in name only, meaning they're not as conservative as others. There's an old, some of you might be old enough to remember an old Cary Grant film called In Name Only. It was about a married couple, and they were married just for social status. They didn't love each other. They were just married out of convenience, I guess, and it was called In Name Only. Sadly, today, there are many fathers who are fathers in name only. You know, they're not there. And we hear that phrase a lot, but I'm afraid that that phrase might apply to Christmas. That Christmas is about Christ in name only. Well, yes, his name is in there. Christmas, Christ, Mass. I mean, that his name is in there, but does that mean that our Christmas is really about him? And I'm not even talking this morning about the people who want to take Christ out of Christmas. I'm not talking about the people that, you know, go on campaigns and lawsuits and try to sue the city and sue the government over saying Christmas or writing Christmas on a card. The people that want to get Christ out of Christmas altogether. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about those that know that Christmas should be about Jesus. People that have no problem saying, oh yeah, obviously, Christmas, we celebrate Christmas to celebrate the birth of Christ. You know, we know that. We know that's the purpose. But is Christmas about Christ in name only to you? I think we see here in this passage that we just read in Matthew chapter 2, some people, they knew about Jesus. But to them, he was just a name. To them, he was a king, but he was a king in name only. He wasn't their king. And as we take a closer look, let's look back at Matthew chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2 again. We read about these wise men that came from the east. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah, or Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." We sing the song, "We Three Kings," and typically people think there were, you know, if you see a nativity scene, you'll always see three kings. We don't really know how many there were. Some have said there may have been 12. It says that they were from the east. It's very likely that they were from Babylon. If you go to Jerusalem and east from there, the kingdom of Babylon is there. Another thing that might give us a clue to who these men were, how did they know that the king of the Jews would be born? How did they know? What gave them these signs? These men were wise men. They were the Magi. A lot of people say they were basically like astrologers. They studied the stars and different things. But there was a man who had been one of these wise men against his will many, many years before, who was taken as a slave to Babylon and was a very wise man, Daniel. And so it's very possible that Daniel, when he was as a slave forced to be one of these wise men in Babylon, obviously he wrote the book of Daniel, and these men, out of respect for him as one of their wise men, they would read his book. And the book of Daniel, we know, does prophesy about the coming of the Messiah. And so that's probably what started them on their journey. Verse 2 says, as they were coming, they said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Again, I don't believe that these men were believers. They were from a pagan land. They were from Babylon. But something, I believe in the book of Daniel, something that they read said, this is important. This is important, this king that's going to be born. There's something about this that we need to find out. And then, being astrologers, people who study the stars, they see this special star. And again, I don't know exactly what that was, but they see it, and they say, we read in this book about this king that's going to be born about this time, and then we see the star. There's got to be something to this. And I don't know what they were looking for, but they were seeking something. Their exact motives were unclear. We're not sure what they wanted. But people today are seeking all kinds of things. Perhaps you came today seeking something. Perhaps you've felt that way before, where you know there's something that you need, but you're not sure what it is. And I believe that's the situation that these men were in. But Jesus to them was something they were trying to find out about. He wasn't their king. This was just a king that they heard about being born. They felt it was important, and they thought they should go and investigate. We see in verse 3 a jealous king. Let's look at verse 3, Matthew chapter 2, and verse 3. "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." So these wise men, this group, and this was a big deal. Again, I believe there were more than just three of them. I believe it was a delegation of these important men from another country. They show up in Jerusalem. They didn't know exactly where Jesus was going to be born. They didn't know to look in Bethlehem, so they came to the capital. They came to Jerusalem to talk to the king. And it says that when Herod heard this news, he was troubled. History tells us that Herod was an egomaniac. I mean, he was a really bad person. Obviously, if you finish reading Matthew chapter 2, you see what happens when he thinks that Jesus perhaps is a king that's going to take over his kingdom. He orders all the kids to be killed. History tells us that this man, when he started to get old and sick, and obviously he was not going to be able to be king anymore, he was so paranoid about someone taking his reign that he actually had his wife and children killed because he thought that they were plotting against him to take over his kingdom. And so this was a bad guy. And so when he hears and sees this delegation of important people from another country saying, hey, we heard you guys have a new king and we want to see him, that didn't sit too well with Herod. It says he was troubled and all the people with him. Verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. So he gathers all these smart people and says, now wait a minute, they're telling me that a king is going to be born. This is the first I've heard about this. Why didn't one of you tell me about this? What's going on? And these scribes and the people he assembled, verse 5, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And then they proceed to read from the Old Testament here in verse 6. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. What a sad thing that they were completely ignorant of the scriptures. They were completely ignorant of this truth. A group of people, of pagans, had to come from another country to shed some light on this situation for Herod and for his people. There are so many people today that they simply do not know what the Bible says. They simply don't know that Jesus died on the cross to pay for their sins. You know what's really sad about this story? You know how far Bethlehem is from Jerusalem? It's only about 6 miles away. 6 miles. And yet, Herod and his people, they had the Messiah that they had been looking for. The Jews had been expecting the Messiah to come for centuries. And yet, he was born 6 miles away from where they were. And they didn't know it. They were ignorant of the scriptures. They just needed someone to let them know. And today, people are looking for something. They know that they need a Savior. Maybe they don't even know that a Savior is what they need, but they know they need something. And the answer is right in front of them. The answer is right there. Jesus died on the cross. He was born of a virgin. He lived and died on a cross to pay for our sins, to deliver us from the bondage of sin. And yet there are people, Jesus is right in front of them, wanting to save them, and they don't realize it. They don't realize that he's so close. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Jesus is standing, knocking at our heart's door. But he won't force his way in. That is one thing that Jesus will never do. But he's just right there. And all we have to do is open our heart and let him in. But Herod was not prepared to do that. How did he react to this? How did he react to finding that the Messiah, the King, was right there in his own backyard, just a few miles away? Verse 7, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Is that really what Herod wanted to do? Did he really want to worship this king? No, he wanted to kill him. Again, that's the kind of guy he was. And after the wise men were gone, I'm sure if the wise men weren't there, he probably would have gone right then and done it himself. But he said, well, these guys are here. I'll go and let them do their thing. I'll go and let them, you know, worship this king or whatever, and then I'll take care of business. And so instead of yielding and submitting to Jesus Christ, Herod got angry. Herod took it personally. He saw Jesus not as a help, not as someone that could change his life, but he saw him as a threat. He saw him as a threat to his title, to his position, to his way of life. And you know, folks, that's really the only other option that people have. When someone rejects Christ, when Jesus stands at their heart's door and knocks, and they say, no, I can't accept Christ. Many times, it leads to disdain. And that's what happened with Herod. He was not willing to accept Christ, and so he saw Christ as a threat. And I believe that's the problem with our society today and the people that do. Isn't it interesting that the people who claim to not believe in Jesus are the ones that fight most strongly to get rid of him? And yet, they don't believe in him. You know, the same people that'll say, oh, you know, religion is just a crutch, and religion is just for weak-minded people, and, you know, Jesus doesn't exist. That's ridiculous. Those same people are the ones that are angry about us saying Merry Christmas, and they want God out of the public eye, and yet they don't believe in him. And I believe that's what happened here with Herod. He was not willing to accept Christ. He was wanting to reject Christ. And the only reasonable, in his mind, the only reasonable reaction would be to hate Christ, to try to get rid of him. Many people reject Christ because they see him as a threat to their way of life. Well, if I believe in Jesus, then, man, all these things I do, I'd feel guilty for him. So he can't exist. Herod's ignorance led to disdain. And then last, let's look at verse 9. We see a new outlook from these wise men. Verse 9, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, did these wise men, did they really understand who Jesus was? I don't believe they did. But there was something about him. There was something that they read in the scripture, in the book of Daniel. There was something when they saw that star. Something spoke to them and said, there's something to this and you need to find out. They began seeking. You know, God doesn't expect you to understand everything about the Bible before you trust in him. You know, God doesn't expect you to fully comprehend salvation before you humble yourself before him to get saved. He doesn't expect you to understand everything. He just expects you to start seeking him. The Bible says in Matthew 13, Jesus is giving a parable, and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Jesus told his disciples that if they had faith, as much faith as a tiny mustard seed, they would be able to move mountains. And folks, today, in order to accept Christ as your Savior, you don't have to understand everything about the Bible. You don't have to understand everything about the gospel. You just have to have a little bit of faith and start seeking the Lord. And when you do that, he'll do for you what he did for the wise men. When the wise men first started seeking, did God come and let them know everything right at that instant? No. He just kept giving them a little more. Here's a scripture. Here's a star from your country way over there in the east. Here's a star. It means something. They took that step. They stepped out in faith to say, let's go check this out. There's something to this. They come. They talked to Herod. Herod didn't want to help them, but he did. What was that? That was God leading the wise men to Jesus. That was God giving them a little bit more, saying, okay, you're seeking me. I see you've taken the little bit of faith that you have, and you're using it to seek me. Let me give you some more. Let me show you the next step. And then after they talked to Herod, and Herod, being completely against Christ, helped them and told them in the exact city where they'd be able to find Jesus. As they're on their way, they step out in faith again and say, okay, so he's in Bethlehem. Let's go and find out. They're still seeking Christ. And as they're on their way to Bethlehem, God gives them another sign in verse 10. They see the star again. Verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. They get to the house, and they finally, after all this seeking, after putting what little faith they had in Christ, they finally come face to face with the Savior, with the King. And what do? It says that they fell down and worshipped him. I don't think they were necessarily planning on doing that. The Bible says they fell down. When they saw Jesus, they knew. When they walked into that home, they knew that this was who they had been looking for. And folks, when you seek Christ and you honestly trust him as your Savior and you realize that he is what you need, you'll have a new outlook. You'll see things differently than you had before. For the Christian today, as I read about this, I wondered, what if the wise men had come to my house looking for Jesus? Would they have seen him? You know, they walked into this house and obviously Jesus was there. But isn't Jesus supposed to be in all of our homes? Shouldn't the presence of Christ be in our homes? All these wise men needed, they needed to see Jesus. And they walked into this home and they did. But you know, folks, there are people all over the world that need to see Jesus. And I think Pastor said just last week, you are going to be the only Bible that many people ever read. And they need to see Jesus in us. If people walked into your house looking for Jesus, would they see him? Or would they say, no, this must be the wrong house. This must be the wrong place. I don't see the presence of God here. And yet when these men walked in and saw Jesus, they knew that he was exactly what they needed. They humbled themselves. Another interesting note, look at what happens after they worshipped him. Verse 11, they fell down and worshipped him, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. You know, it was a lot easier to let go of all the things that they had once they realized that he was their king. And you know, a lot of people, the thing that stops them from trusting in Christ, they'll say, well, man, if I truly trust in Christ, if I make Jesus my king, I'm going to have to give up all these things. I'm going to have to give up the way I live and all these other things. The problem is we're trying to give up those things before we trust in Christ, but it can't happen until after you trust in Christ. After they worshiped him, after they fell down before him and recognized him as their king, giving him things was easy. And then last, verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. They no longer needed the world's approval after they got saved. After they trusted in Christ, they realized something told them, you know what, this Herod guy, he is not our buddy. He doesn't have our best interest in mind. There's something about him. They recognized this after they trusted in Christ and made him their king. And they departed into their own country another way. You know, when you're a Christian, when you're saved, you don't care what the world says. At least we shouldn't. We don't have to anymore. We don't have to be concerned about what the world thinks about us, about what people think about us or are going to say about us, because we know we have something greater. We know we have someone greater. And today, just a simple passage, a Christmas story that I'm sure you've heard many times. But the simple point today is this. Is Jesus Christ a king just in the Christmas carols? Is he just a king when we sing the Christmas carols and talk about, you know, born as the King of Israel? Or is he your king today? Is he the king of your heart and of your life? If he's not, he can be today. Let's bow for prayer.